I'm just going to ask you to take the notes that you have, your sermon notes, and just put them to the side, if you will. We're not going to use those today. We'll do it again next week. I just believe God wants to do something else today. So I'm sorry, I'm stumbling through some announcements. Our video we're going to keep for next week. I want you to turn to Psalm 23. This is a psalm written by David, and David spent a lot of years of his life herding sheep. A lot of time alone, a lot of cold nights, a lot of dangerous times. It was a difficult thing. But out of that came one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we don't think of shepherds too much in our society because we don't have much need for them. But a shepherd is someone whose life is absolutely, totally committed to the well-being of the sheep. And David, in reflection, began to think about how the Lord, his number one, the King of the universe, his number one priority is taking care of people like us. He has that kind of heart for us. That kind of compassion. And with someone like the Lord caring for your heart and for my heart, we are in the best hands we could possibly be in. This is the King of the universe who cares that deeply for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's taking care of every need. You could say, I will not be in want. I will not allow myself to want because He's going to take care of me. What we really need, we have. Because He's there. You know, it's real easy for us to get all caught up in what we want. But if we recognize that everything we really need has already been provided for us by our shepherd who cares so deeply for us that He gave His life for us, then within that, the things that we think we want really aren't that important. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep have to have green pastures. They need a place where they can get nourishment and strength, and the Lord is concerned about our nourishment and strength, and He takes us to places where we're going to be fed spiritually. He takes a personal interest in us. Now, we have to eat. We have to choose to eat. But He takes us to the place where there is abundance of good food to eat. In that spiritual sense. It doesn't say He takes us to places that we have to scramble. We have to hunt. He provides within the very circumstances of our lives that we are in the place for the most abundance. And even if you're in the midst of what seems to be the most chaos and the most difficult time in your life, understand that that is the greenest pasture that the Lord could find for you, even though it may seem difficult, because within that circumstance is where you're going to find the best nourishment. And then it says, He leads me beside still waters or quiet waters. Sheep, especially when they get laden with wool, are incredibly vulnerable to rushing water. Because their wool gets heavy, they can fall over and they can't get up. And they don't have one of those little, I've fallen and I can't get up things. They're stuck. And so the shepherd knows and takes the sheep to still waters, places that are safe for them. The Lord is concerned for your safety. He's concerned for my safety. He takes us to these places where we will be able to drink the water, which is symbolic of the Spirit, so we can have a place where we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He takes us to these quiet places. He's sensitive to our fears because all of us have fears. We're afraid of this and we're afraid of that. Sheep are real skittish, fearful animals. So are we. How many of you have been afraid of something this week? I'd venture to guess that the rest of you are probably lying. Because we worry about stuff, and worry is fear. We all fear. And the Lord is sensitive to those fears. He cares about those things. And He takes us to the place where we can be filled with the Spirit. And in fact, being filled with the Spirit is the way that we deal with those fears. And then I love this. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. It's the part of us that where we make decisions. It's our will. And we choose either to follow the Spirit or we choose to follow the flesh. It's where that seat of decision making takes place. And the Lord restores that because, you know, the experts tell us that about 85% of what we think and feel is subconscious. 85% of it. And so while we may have come to the Lord and come to know Him, intellectually we can talk faith and we can think faith and we can make good decisions, but subconsciously that 85%, much of it is still operating in the flesh. It's that old habitual self-dependent stuff. And that's the stuff that wears us thin with each other. In our minds, we serve the Lord. But in that subconscious, we get nitpicky with each other. We get critical of each other. We get nasty with one another. We live in fear, we get worried, we try to control, we manipulate, whatever else. Because we're sick people in the core, and that's what God is restoring. Restoring the soul. If we'll let Him. He restores my soul. Some of you have been through some real crisis this week. Very fresh. In fact, if we were to take the last month, and a whole other group would be added to that. And I know some of you are facing some very serious decisions, some family crises, personal crises, tremendous loss. Some of you are facing serious illness. Some of you have just been beat down. And you're hurting. And you're here today hurting. The Lord restores our souls. And He takes those, our blundering messes, that 85%, then hopefully some of us have been walking the Lord, maybe it's 50% now, and we're operating on 50% that's really walking with the Lord, and another 50% we keep falling back into that old stuff. Whatever the percentage is, the fact is that none of us are there yet. And we need God's grace. And He is a grace-giving God that restores our inner being. He restores our soul. Do you want restored today? See, our shepherd knows all that pain. He knows the hurt. He knows the frustration. He knows it all. And He says, let me take you to the water. Let me take you to a place where you can find spiritual refreshment. Let me let you know that I'm patient with you in your weakness. I'm patient with you in your striving and your hurting and all those things. And I love you just the same. And the crisis that you're going through is only about learning to trust me more. Because when everything seems to fall away, when all of our props get knocked out, that's when we have to trust and we have to believe and we have to throw ourselves on Jesus. And when we do, another little piece of that subconscious distrust is pulled away, and that self-dependence is pulled away, and that striving to try to do it myself is pulled away. He restores my soul. And He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You say, well, you know what? The path I'm on is awfully rough. How could that be a path of righteousness? Well, how could be a path of righteousness for the Lord to lead Israel instead of right into Canaan, which would have taken about 11 days, a straight course? He leads them for a year and a half journey through the wilderness. How's that a path of righteousness? Now, they took an extra detour that added another 38 years to it. Unnecessary. But God intended them to take a wilderness detour because He had some training in mind for them. They were not prepared to do battle. They were not prepared to go into enemy territory. They didn't know how to trust God. They didn't have developing faith. And so God needed to give them a time of instruction and teaching. He had to take them through experiences that were difficult so that they would learn that when I'm thirsty, instead of whining and complaining, why not call on God? Because He's going to come through. He did it here. He did it here. He did it here. He wanted them to learn faith. They didn't learn it. But it was an intended, His path of righteousness was intended to be the good path that would get them into the kingdom. You know, I think of that when I think of this church. Collectively now. We've talked about some individual stuff, but collectively as a church, this church has been through some major crises. Since it started, eventually the planting pastor got sick. And then there was a series of interim pastors, and then there were other factors that were very, very difficult to go through, and issues that dealt with trust, and there were so many things that happened along the way. A lot of us had this dream that, you know, we'd be advancing and making huge steps forward, we'd be packed to overflowing in multiple services, and we'd have the debt paid off much more quickly and all that stuff. You know what? That isn't the path that God has taken us on. However, He's taken us on a path, regardless of the bumps along the way, God wasn't blind and didn't just, this isn't an accident that happened and God was surprised by it. We are where we are because God has led us and He's allowed us to experience painful situations so that we would learn to let Him build the house. So we would learn to trust Him, learn to put our faith in Him, learn to grow in relationship with Him, learn to cast all our cares upon Him. So when God really builds the house, who's going to get the credit? It's not going to be this pastor or that pastor, or it's not going to be somebody that was tremendously gifted. And it's not because we're so wise or so wealthy or so this or so that, because God built the house. You know, we're facing a mountain of debt and we're way behind in our income. And if you're a guest here today, I'm sorry. We're just laying some stuff out. This wasn't planned. But we are facing a mountain that is way too big for us. It is too big for us. This is a very generous, loving congregation, a wonderful group of people. But we're also a pretty beat up group of people. And we've been through it. But I believe that God has great things in store for us still. But I do not believe that He planned on taking us straight into Canaan with no bumps along the way. Because if He'd have done that, we'd have said, look how good we are. And He doesn't want that. He wants us to know that it's Him who has built this house. And He will get all the praise and all the glory and all the credit. And He wants us to be on our knees. This is a praying church. An incredibly committed church when it comes to prayer. But I don't think we're where we need to be yet. We have a long way to go yet. I believe God has things in store for this church that are far beyond anything we could possibly imagine. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For whose name? Not for Hempfield Church's name's sake. His name's sake. Not for your name's sake or my name's sake, but for His sake. Because God is wanting to build in us. He wants to restore our souls so that we become people of trust and faith and growth and maturity. And then He wants us to be able to really, truly be people that His Spirit can flow through without us taking credit for it. We need a big miracle here. Big miracle here. And we serve a God that's big on miracles. And we're going to see some great things happen here. But one thing we can't do is we can't allow ourselves to get bogged down and get grumbly along the way like the children of Israel did, because they got out in the wilderness and they kind of got used to the grumbling, complaining, oh, it's Moses' fault and it's, you know, it's this person's fault and it's that person's fault, and they started grumbling and complaining and fussing with one another. And God had to step in and give them something to worry about. Sent snakes in. Why? So they began to focus on the Lord again. And whenever the trouble would hit, eventually they would cry out and God would come in and rescue them. And I would like for us to be able to weather these seasons that are difficult by faith. Trusting that there is a reason that we are where we are. Trusting that God is faithful. Trusting that God is going to get us through this, whatever it is, and that it will be for His glory. He leads us on paths of righteousness. Will you say that with me? He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then it says, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. We've been hit with death in this congregation. Or potential death. It's hard. And we have faced some things that felt like death. But he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. See, when God's with us, death cannot separate us from God. Paul put it this way, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all of God's creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot separate us from the Lord. Can't separate us from our loved ones. Can't separate us from each other. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Whatever happens along the way, if God's with us, we can take it. Because He's our shepherd. Because He is making sure that we're getting good water and good food along the way. Because He is leading us in a path that's developing character. He's removing our self-trust, that subconscious stuff in our souls that gets in the way. He is character building us and developing us. And when there's casualties along the way, all those casualties will be restored. And so ultimately, there's no way to lose. Can you say amen? There's no way we can lose. Because He's with us. And then He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and a staff were the shepherd's tools. The staff was used to pull a sheep back. If it was had fallen over an edge of something, they could pull with a hook neck, pull the sheep back. Or if it was starting to run too far ahead, I've seen some people with the little harnesses for their kids. When the kids start running ahead, they have this little leash, kid leash. You seen those? It's a little bit like a kid leash for me and for you when we start running ahead of the Lord. Pull us back. And the rod isn't to beat the sheep. The rod is to beat the enemies of the sheep. And there are wolves. And there are distractions, and there are those that would hurt the sheep, and the shepherd says, you're not coming near my sheep. We have a God who defends us. He does not take lightly to any force that would drive a wedge between another, between people and His congregation. He does not smile, does not deal gently with the forces that come against His church. And there is no force from hell that is safe when we're in the shepherd's care. Because He will viciously defend His people. That's a great God, isn't it? And then the tables turn here in the psalm. And the psalm begins to talk to people who shepherd others. Those of you who are small group leaders. Those of you who are serving in ministry areas. Maybe you're teaching a class or you're involved in leading a ministry. And you know what it's like. Sometimes you just feel like quitting. Sometimes you've been pouring your heart and soul into something and you get discouraging comments or something falls through that you tried to do well and it didn't turn out quite the way you wanted. Or You pour your heart into serving the Lord and it just seems like you knock flat. Nobody volunteers or whatever. And you just feel like you've just been deflated. Being a shepherd is a hard thing. And you know what it feels like. Well, our shepherd knows. And you can just see this weary shepherd coming in after being with the sheep all day. And he's beat. The sheep are now in the sheep pen. And he collapses over at his tent just in time to notice that Jesus never stops. All day he shepherds us, and then he turns around and shepherds the shepherds. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Get in that weary after a long day, and there's a feast prepared by our shepherd for us. You anoint my head with oil. Oil was a healing agent. The shepherd comes along and puts a little oil in those wounds. Some of the wounds we may have gotten from mother sheep, or maybe from bumps and bruises along the way. The Lord rubs oil into that wound. And oil was also something that was significant because it was what was put on royalty in anointing. He treats us like royalty. Can you testify to the times that the Lord has just, when you've just been beat down, and the Lord just pours love into you. Just spreads a table in front of you with just the sweetest relationship stuff with Him that just pours into your heart. The kind of stuff that nobody can ever see. But the Lord does. And this intimate connection with Him that just pours His love in. It's so sweet. And He treats us like royalty. He says, my cup runs over. The wine of the Lord's grace is always sufficient. And when we've messed up as shepherds, not shepherding as kindly as we should, or not doing this quite the way we should or that, whatever, there's so much grace that it's overflowing. And He doesn't hold it against us. His grace is sufficient. My cup runs over, He says. What a God. I'm sorry. Oh, that our hearts would just be enamored with the grace of God. So we just find ourselves caught up in worship and gratitude and thanks for what He's done. And that overflowing grace would overflow from us to others and still others and still others. His grace. My cup overflows. The Lord has been way too good to me. So much more than I deserve. And time after time has picked me up off the floor and dusted me off and washed me off and said, I still want to use you. I don't understand. But I'm grateful. And my cup overflows with His grace, but it also overflows with thanksgiving for such a God. And then He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy of the Lord is always with us. Always. The Lord's our shepherd. He's leading us. And then His grace and His mercy follow behind. We are safe in the pocket of His love all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if you've committed your life to the Lord, so will you. I think we need some time of just corporate repentance. I do. Starting with me. We've been trying very hard. We've been working hard. We've been in every way trying to be faithful to the Lord. And we've gotten weary. Sometimes we've hurt each other. I just want to say that if I've hurt you, I want to apologize to you for that. It's not my heart. But I also know that there's rough edges to me, and I'm not all the way there yet. Maybe you're aware that you've hurt somebody. Make it right. I mean, we're safe in the arms of the Lord. He's forgiven us, so we can forgive each other. Maybe somebody's wounded you and you've kind of held on to that a little bit. It's time to let it go. We don't need that in God's house. And I don't know your situation. This isn't, I'm not speaking to anybody in particular. I'm just speaking in general. But I think we need some healing. And I'm just going to ask you to just write where you are seated, or you can come up here to the front if you'd like and pray for a little bit. I'm going to ask that nobody leave. This is not an optional time right now for let's just bow out of that. I think we need it together. And I'm going to ask the musicians, if they'll just come up and just play some quiet music for a moment. And I just want you to pray first about your relational stuff. If there's anything that's going on relationally between you and somebody else that needs to be made right, I pray that you'll do that right now. And anything between you and God on a personal level, if there's an area of sin in your life that's not been dealt with, that you say, Lord, I want you in that right now. Because He's a good shepherd and He will forgive. His grace is sufficient. And I just want to just give you an opportunity to do that. And then following that, there's some things that we need to pray for as a group. I'm going to invite you to just do that. And if you're a guest with us today, whatever the Lord lays on your heart to pray for in your own personal life, we don't want to exclude you. We're glad you're here. This is a little unusual for us, but we're glad you're here. And I just trust that God brought you here today because you needed to be in this place today for whatever it is that God's going to do in your heart. So I just want to invite you right now to just, wherever you are, whatever you want to be, just if there's something between you and God or between you and somebody else, that you will just make that right now.